Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida. And I'm so delighted to be with you on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, we're coming to the last two messages of an eight-part series on a portrait of God that I call He is Our Gift Giver. And if you've had the chance to be with us, you know that there are three types. There are personal spiritual gifts that we find in Romans 12. There are positional spiritual gifts that we find in Ephesians 4. And then there are situational spiritual gifts that we find in 1 Corinthians 12. And that's the section we're walking through right now to wind this up, not this week, but next week. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to start making your way over to 1 Peter chapter 2. And just a quick reminder that all of these messages are archived on my website. I call it Helping You Hear God. And you'll find it at markpg.org. On that landing page, you'll see different boxes that offer some 3-minute videos on portraits of God, some articles I've written for local publications over the years. I call it Whispers of God. And then you'll find some one-page, sometimes two-page outlines or info guides, printed guidelines on all kinds of topics. And today, you'll want to go there because I'm going to cover a lot of material and point you to those guides in that section. And you'll be able to find it at, again, markpg.org. And there's a broadcast box, and that's the one you click on the landing page. Then on the next one, just click on Portraits of God, and boom, there it is. All right, so I hope you'll check that out. Well, I do believe that we want to hear from God, and I do want to help you hear God. And so, yeah, as is our custom, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I love coming together with my brothers and sisters to sit at Your feet. Lord, I love to gaze into Your eyes and listen for Your whispers from above, from Your heart to our hearts. And Lord, as we're going through this series on how You're our gift giver, how You've given us 20 listed spiritual gifts in these three categories and throughout the scripture, I'm just delighted to be able to try to unpack them the best way I can so that my brothers and sisters will be informed of Your intentions to gift us from above on an ongoing basis. Wow, You're so gracious. You're so generous. Thank You, Lord, for being our gift giver. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, my friends. Well, you know, I kind of like to set the table and put everything in context. So just a kind of a 2-minute review here of where we've been. We started off looking at the personal spiritual gifts in Romans 12. And they're the first seven of these 20 that we're walking through. Prophecy, teaching, exhortation, administration, service, giving, and mercy were those first seven. And I use animal metaphors there. Prophecy's the eagle, teaching's the tiger, exhortation's the dolphin, administration's the ants, service is the squirrel, giving is the honeybee, and mercy is the dove. And those are the first four messages of this series, so I encourage you to go to markpg.org and go over them if you haven't had a chance to go over them before and share them with others. Then we went in the fifth message, we covered the positional spiritual gifts. This is over in Ephesians 4, number 8, 9, 10, and 11. Apostles, you know, one sent out with a focus and gifts to start fresh new works of God. Prophets, you know, one with a focus gift to boldly preach the core truths of God. Evangelists, spreading the good news and sharing Jesus Christ, one with a focus to do that. And then the 11 was the shepherd teacher, or pastor teacher in number 11. This is one with a focus and gifts to oversee, nurture, comfort, and feed and train the local church and anywhere God gives them or her opportunities to share gifts that He's given them. Now, We come to the spiritual gifts that we call situational spiritual gifts over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we covered the word of wisdom last time. That's number 12, God-given insights privately or in groups regarding difficult, timely situations. Number 13 was word of knowledge. This is God-given personal facts about others to spark a timely faith in God. And by the way, just a reminder, these are kind of like raindrops. The personal spiritual gifts are constituted. They're within you. They're hardwired in you, and we're to cultivate those. Those are the personal spiritual gifts. The positional spiritual gifts are the opportunities God gives you to serve in the body of Christ within the appropriate parameters as you understand them in your journey in the Lord. And then the situational spiritual gifts are, they're kind of like raindrops. They're grace drops for the moment as He wills. Here's how the scripture puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now there are, this is verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now verse 8, one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the Spirit, to another faith, verse 9, by the same Spirit. We covered those three last time. Faith, by the way, is a God-given surge of trust in God's great wisdom, acts, and timing. And now we come to the next three, healing, miracles, and prophecy. You'll see it here in the text, verse 9, and to another, gifts of healing, not healers, by the one Spirit, to another, the effecting of miracles, not miracle workers, and to another, prophecy, and then to another, distinguishing of spirits, and to another, various kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. And here's the key verse that really gives us an understanding of how this works. Verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. And so I love these gifts. The situation that you find yourself in, decisions you have to make, crossroads that you're coming to, whether as an individual or as a couple or as a family or as elders or as deacons or as a church family, you know, the Lord loves to give you a word of wisdom at just the right time, or give you a word of knowledge at just the right time, or give you a surge of faith at just the right time. And healing and miracles and prophecy work the same way. And I'm excited about unpacking this for us today, because there's a lot of differing views on this, even some controversy. So I'm going to do my best to try to settle that by sharing with you that ultimately the Lord is our healer, the Lord is our miracle worker, but He uses us as conduits from time to time, but He does it situationally. It's not something He gives us to use at our will. It's something that He rains down these grace drops or gracelets as we need them in our life, in our family, in our churches, in our city. So let's take a look at it together. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, as we talk about number 15 here in our list of 20, a situational spiritual gift of healing. What does that look like? Well, our first clue is in 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 24, where it says, He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by His wounds you were healed. Now, let me stop there a moment. Now, we have brothers and sisters in different denominational traditions who use this passage to say this is a guarantee of physical healing, and it ought to be all the time if you just have enough faith. Well, that's partially true. What kind of healing are you talking about here? Well, we need healing in every dimension of our being. And to get that, let me take you over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll pick it up in verse 23. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely. That means to set you aside unto Himself. And may, here it is, may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are tripart beings, body, soul, and spirit. And guess what? All three dimensions of our being need healing from time to time. And here's how healing works. In fact, I did a whole series on this. It's called He is Our Creative Healer. You go to my website at markpg.org and scroll, to about a year ago or so when I did this series, and I unpacked this very thoroughly. He is our creative healer who cannot be formalized. You cannot come up with a formula saying the scripture says this, just do this, just have enough faith, or just have anointing with oil, or just use this prayer cloth, or just, because the Lord healed in a number of different ways, all kinds of ways. What I want you to see here then, and here's the definition of this situational spiritual gift of healing: God-given, creative, and timely spiritual, emotional, and physical restoration. The Lord has a heart to heal you. By His stripes you are healed means, number one, to heal you spiritually. That's the first and foremost. But He also, your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, He wants to heal all that within you too. And that's going to take time. That's part of the sanctification progression. He works with us, and He speaks with us, and walks with us, and heals us, kind of like triage. Triage is when medical professionals at an accident scene, or in a war zone, they're determining which of the injured, which of the wounded need help immediately, and in what way do they need help. In that illustration, it's all pretty much physical, but we all know that there's going to be post-traumatic stress syndrome and all kinds of things that go with what happens to us in this life, my friends. And you know what? The Lord understands that. And He is totally invested in you, loves you more than you can possibly imagine. And He wants to, over time, on this earth, heal you spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And He'll do it in His own order. Sometimes He chooses to focus on the spiritual, sometimes on the emotional in His triage. And then He'll get to the physical later. Sometimes He goes to the physical first to give you that faith booster so you can be more open to spiritual and emotional healing. It's His choice. Again, verse 11, back in our theme verse for the situational spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 11 it says, one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. So given the situation, your walk, your journey, He may rain down a grace sled or a grace drop of spiritual healing or emotional healing or physical healing in His sequence, in His time, in His creativity. So by His stripes are we healed? Yes, but we're healed as He wills, and in His sequence, and in His time. Isn't that cool? I absolutely love that. So just to kind of give you a peek of that series on how He is our creative healer who cannot be formalized, I provide 20 biblical reasons why He allows physical infirmity, and then we walk through that in the series. So here's a quick list just to give you a feel of it. Here's the 20 biblical reasons why He allows physical infirmity, which illustrates how He is our creative healer who cannot be formalized. Well, number one, to gift us with priority healing. It's what I just described. He heals spirit, soul, and body in His way, in His time, and in His sequence, triage. Number two, to gift us with timely healing. It's in His time. Number three, to gift us with ultimate healing. Sometimes that's how we get transported to heaven with a physical infirmity. That's His way too sometimes. Number four, to give us shareable comfort with the comfort that He comforts us with. Number five, to gift us with prevailing grace when He says, my grace is sufficient for you. Number six, to remind us of our temporary bodies. That's another reason He allows physical infirmity. These are temporary, these are the earth suits. Well, they're wearing out. The outer man is decaying, but the inner man is being renewed day by day, according to Scripture. Number seven, to prompt us toward nutritional lifestyles. We see that in the Daniel 1. They're refusing to eat the king's choice foods and wanted vegetables and water. Number eight, to reveal and heal broken hearts. 9, to reveal and heal wayward hearts. 10, to reveal and heal stressful anxiety. Number 11, to reveal and heal unforgiven bitterness. You see, in this, what we're going through this section is, when you have physical ailments, often they're like the warning light on your dashboard that says, you need oil. You know, if you have that going on, you need to check with the Lord on all of these things. Sometimes he wants to reveal and heal self-sufficient pride. That's number 12. Number 13, to reveal and heal fragile faith. 14, to reveal and heal quenched confession. When we don't confess and we're harboring all kinds of things, boy, that impacts us physically. Number 15, to reveal and heal willful disobedience. Number 16, to reveal and heal rebellious ways. Number 17, to reveal and heal generational impact. Number 18, to reveal and heal toxic soul ties. Number 19, to reveal and heal demonic dynamics, or all kinds of demonic dynamics, by the way, the demonic doctrines, demonic thoughts, demonic viruses, demonic strongholds, demonic presence. We go through all of that in the series. And then finally, number 20, to glorify himself in all kinds of healing. So God uses physical infirmities. He allows it in order to accomplish all of these great creative purposes in his time and his way. And he's going to rain down those gracelets of healing, those grace drops of healing, in whatever sequence, in whatever strength, at whatever time, and whether it's spiritual, emotional, or physical restoration that is the top priority, he will decide. So we get to just receive whatever he wants to give us and be content and be at peace, trusting him to be the healer, not any person who claims to be a healer, not even our own efforts to formalize things to try to earn his healing in some way. No, it's just trusting the Lord to rain down a gracelet or a grace drop of healing however he wants. And boy, that brings great freedom. Similarly, we get to the affecting of miracles. Miracles. These are God. This is number 16. We had number 15, healing, God-given, creative, timely, spiritual, emotional, and physical restoration. Now, miracles are God-given supernatural experiences and events to help increase faith. Let me take you to Matthew chapter 13, and as you're making your way there, I'll just repeat that definition. God-given supernatural experiences and events to help increase faith. But there's two very interesting things that we see in Scripture that, well, I believe will really help us understand this thing and kind of get out of the controversy. Obviously, does God do miracles today like he did in the Bible? Absolutely. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But they can be counterfeited. They can be faked. And then that mucks up the whole works and makes us distrust the reality that God sometimes chooses to rain down a grace drop or gracelet of a miracle, a supernatural experience or event to help increase our faith. So let me take you to Matthew 13, though, and show you some of the problems that we have with this in our hearts and in our lives. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 53, Jesus is visiting Nazareth. He's coming back to Nazareth. And it came about that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there, and coming to his hometown, he began teaching them in their synagogue, so that they became astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? In other words, hey, he's just a normal guy with a family like all the rest of us, warts and all. Where did he get all this stuff? And they took offense in verse 57 at him. Oh, but Jesus said to them, oh, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Unbelief. We have to have eyes to see the things that he does. Think about that statement. God's doing miracles of all kinds of places, But if we don't have a heart of trust and belief in who he is and what he does, then we can miss it. In fact, we can do something even worse. And let me take you over to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. This is the day of Pentecost, when God did one of the most supernatural things among a group of people that we have in all of Scripture. Listen to this. And when the day of Pentecost had come, this is Acts 2, verse 1, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. And we're going to talk about this next week, about the tongues thing. Now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were bewildered, because they were each one hearing them speak in their own language. So there's two miracles, a lot of things going on here. People hearing in their own language, then speaking in other tongues, and these, you know, the tongues of fire, as of fire, you know, appearing, that type of thing. Well, verse 7, and they were amazed and marveled, saying, why, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we are each hearing them in our own language to which we were born? And then it lists those in verses 9 and 10 and 11. And then verse 12, and they continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, what does this mean? All right, let me stop there for a moment. Miracles are happening before their very eyes and within their very ears, and they're going, whoa, what is this? This is amazing. This is astonishing. This has to be from God. This is supernatural. Whoa. But not everybody. Look at verse 13. Well, let's pick it up in context in 12. They continued in amazement and great perplexity, saying to one another, wow, what does this mean? But verse 13, but others were mocking and saying, they are full of sweet wine. Isn't that sad? Ah, they're just drunk. Yeah, this is no miracle here. They're just drunk. They didn't have eyes to see, ears to hear, or heart to receive the miracles that God was doing in their very midst. My friend, we're not to be miracle seekers. That would be wrong. Jesus was very clear about that. But when supernatural experiences and events come up, that is where, yes, we're to test the spirits, but also recognize this could very well be the hand and the work of God to give us that surge of faith that he is active and willing to work among us. Miracles don't automatically make people believe. In fact, they end up saying, they're just drunk people. They don't know what they're talking about. Okay, that's the spirit of unbelief, distrust. But these miracles are happening all over the world. And we hear stories, and we should, again, test the spirits and understand that there are folks counterfeiting them for sure, pretending, putting on a stage production of some kind. But on the other hand, there are those that are absolutely real. These gifts are for today, but they're situational spiritual gifts. God gives them to each one individually as he wills at just the right place and time. Isn't that cool? And then we have the word of prophecy, the situational spiritual gift of prophecy. These are God-given proclamations of truth based on the infallible word of God. Acts 17, verses 22 through 23 tell us how Paul was preaching, proclaiming on Mars Hill. And in that context, these Greeks were very intellectual, very philosophical. So you know what? He kind of spoke to them in that language and in themes that would help reach them. God-given truths shared in that situational moment, proclaiming the realities of God. Luke chapter 24. Verses 25 through 33 is the story of the Emmaus walk, when Jesus appeared at his post-resurrection appearance on the Emmaus road, and he began talking with two gentlemen. They didn't recognize him at first. And they said, what are you talking about? They began to say, well, where have you been? And haven't you heard? I mean, the Galilean was here and da-da-da and Jesus and stuff. And they began talking and talking. And then the scripture says, and Jesus began to walk them through the word of God and explain the things in the word and how they pointed to the coming of Messiah. And then that aha moment when they saw, wait a minute, this is the Lord. Poof. Prophetic utterances can come in so many ways. Sometimes they'll come in tongues, as we'll see in next week. But I just want to emphasize at this point that there is that personal spiritual gift of prophecy where it's a characteristic of some who love to declare the black and white heart truths of God, and you can cultivate that. And there is the role of the prophet and the positional spiritual gifts, and sometimes in positions in a local church, you know, with a title and all. But other times, if anybody can preach or proclaim a truth, a simple truth, in a context where a real strong proclamation, still based on the infallible word of God, needs to be spoken. And this is this gracelet. This is this grace drop. I'll get it out. This grace drop from above that God chooses to give in a particular place or time. That's why I call these the situational spiritual gifts, because God loves to rain down his gifts to us. Don't let them splatter on the ground. Be so in tune to this voice of God that you'll hear it when it comes. Listen for those whispers. Well, Lord, I'm so grateful for the opportunity to walk through the scriptures together and to see these situational spiritual gifts that you rain down from heaven. All we want to hear and we want to speak it in Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you check out my website at markpg.org. And until next time, fall in love with Jesus, our gift giver.